Okay, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Let me just read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What happens when you hear someone knock at your door? Somebody's at the door. There's somebody out there. They keep a knocking, you get annoyed, don't you, if you don't hurry and get there. Get to that door. And you go to the door. And he said, if. Now you notice I stand at the door and knock. But he says, and I stand at that door and knock if. See, the if is in you. You're the if part of this verse. If any man hear my voice. Any man hear my voice and open the door. See, this door is not a physical door. This voice is not a physical voice. This knock is not a physical knock. This is the Lord. The Lord. Almighty God. King of kings. Lord of lords. He is knocking on humanity's heart. The door of the heart. He's going to knock. I believe he knocks on every door. He's knocking on the hearts of men and women. And he says, if anyone can hear this knock, if anyone hears and opens the door of their heart, if you open your door, especially if there's a salesman outside of it, you're in trouble. They coming on in. Jesus said, just open up. I'm there. He's waiting on the door to open. He's waiting on someone to say, I'm going to believe. And that believing is the opening. Say, okay, I give up. I just believe. I'm going to believe. And I don't know all about what he's going to say. When you get a salesman at your door and he walks in, you know everything he's got in his briefcase? Do you know everything he's got to sell you? No. You got to sit at the table and, well, let me get you a cup of coffee. You got about an hour or two. I'll show you some stuff. I used to be a saleswoman. I was a professional trained saleswoman. Can sell you insurance. I sold life, I sold health, I sold annuities, I sold long-term care. I made $5,000 one month on selling just long-term care. In a month, cash, $5,000 cash in sales. Because annuities and things of that nature, people they need them. But see, I had to have the opportunity to sit down at a table and usually on a very relaxed relationship, build trust, before I could make the sale. I had to sit down and let them hear what I had to say. I had to get their ear tuned in to my, I had to change the way they thought. Nobody wants to buy life insurance. Are you kidding me? I had to present the product. I had to present the need. And the need is an intangible need. It's not like food and water. It's an abstract thing. And so I had to really work on something called their need. Because if they thought I wanted to sell them life insurance to make me some money, I'm out the door in a heartbeat. That's the way sales work. Because, you know, first thing you got your guard up, oh, it's another salesperson. But when you start wrecking, they sit down with you and they listen to what you're talking and trying to, you realize they're here to help me. They're here to help me. They're here to sell me something that I need. I need it. It's not about putting money in their pocket now. It's about something they sincerely care about me, and they know I need this product. So I sit down with them, and if they give me a chance to listen to me and give me an ear to hear me, I would share with them something I knew they needed. And I had to believe that. I never sold anything I didn't believe someone needed it. I never, ever sold anyone anything that I thought they didn't need. I just was never like that. And people can see through the genuineness of a person. Do you understand? So that's how I think I was so successful in my sales. Because I didn't do it for me, I did it for them. So I enjoyed what I did. I love insurance. I loved what I was doing. And God called me out of that ministry, out of that work, and brought me here. But he's saying something very important here. He's saying, all I want you to do is listen. Listen to my voice and listen to what I'm talking about. Sit down and let me sup with you. Ask your questions. Let me answer your questions. Let's have a relationship. Let's begin to build a relationship. The most wonderful people that I know in this world that trust me, especially when I had my business, were people who would send people to me. You can trust this girl. She'll not try to say something you don't need. You can believe what she says. And if you sit down and get acquainted with the Lord and you open up your heart to him, you won't know everything he's going to share with you, because he won't share everything. I couldn't share everything with people. But he knows exactly what you need. He knows how to reach you and me. And this message this morning is concerning, how does the Lord reach us? How does the Lord establish this relationship and bond in our lives? And I want to bring some things to revelation to you today that I believe the Lord is going to help me do. And I want to now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. We're coming into the resurrection day season of Christianity, when all of Christendom will be focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What I hate to say this, because I've always had a little bit of a pet peeve concerning this, is that they focus on the death, the crucifixion, and we know that happened, but they just don't spend enough time thinking about the resurrection and the ascension and the seating. Right. They just don't complete the picture.
Amen.
They just don't complete the picture. And that's where Christianity has got such an impact. That's where your power is, because at the right hand of God, our Savior is sitting and seated, and you're seated with him. But we've got to be told that. We've got to know that. But look at this verse here. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let's just break this down, because this is very powerful. God was in Christ. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was the Son of God. God was in Christ. God was his Father. God's DNA, God's blood, holy blood, was in Jesus. Jesus was literally the Son of God. He wasn't the son of Adam. He wasn't from the seed of Adam. He was from the seed of God. He's God's seed, God's Son. Just as human as you and I, but the sin element was missing. See, the transgression element wasn't impregnated into his being like it was to us. They didn't have the sin nature. He had an eternal nature. See, Zoe, the eternal life of God, is the nature of God. And Jesus, from conception, had eternal life in him. Because God was his Father. Almighty God, the Creator, who is a spirit, was his Father. Can't put that under a microscope, you understand. You just have to believe that. Okay? So he's in Christ. And the reason he was in Christ, because he had a purpose in all this. His purpose in mind from the beginning of the fall of man was to get him back. Get man back. Let's reconcile them back. How do we do that? Legally. How do we do this? Father, Son, Holy Spirit's involved in this process. God's very, very intelligent. Very, very, very smart. He knows how to fix any problem, any situation. And super genius God. Way smarter than Satan. Way smarter. So he's got the plan. And he executed the plan perfectly. The right timing, the right... this everything perfect. He pulled it off. He really did reconcile man to himself. It was done 2,000 years ago. All of humanity was reconciled 2,000 years ago. Now, what does that word reconciled mean? To restore the relationship. Restoring the relationship back. Had a perfect relationship going on here with Adam and Eve in the garden. Perfect relationship. It was broken. Broken relationship. But God had a plan of reconciliation to get us back and restore what was lost completely. So we know that God was in Christ and he was in him, reconciled the world unto himself in a pivotal moment in time. That's when it happened, at the cross. All the ordinances, all the commandments, everything was nailed to his tree, to the tree. Removing, taking him out of the way. And Colossians talks about how it's that move, remove, taking it out of the way. Because these things, we couldn't live up to them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. In the mind of God, every single human being was forgiven that day. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. God forgave humanity. God forgave the sin of Adam. God forgave. God did not impute their sins and trespasses against them anymore. Period. Period. Over. It's done. Think about yourself. Think about your life. I don't care how bad you've been. How bad, sad, sorry, and mean, and hateful you've been. It doesn't matter. You can walk around being mad and sad and hateful and vicious and angry and upset all day long. You're doing it, you're harm to yourself. Because God's forgiven you in Christ. And God is just waiting on you to hear the gospel, let the light of the revelation of what he's done come into your ears, knocking on that door of your heart, waiting for you to open that heart door to hear this message of reconciliation, that he's not mad at you anymore. He's already moved away all your transgressions and is not going to impute them to you anymore, but he's just waiting on you to open up and let him come in and sup with you. Open up your life. Let him talk to you. Let him explain himself to you. Get acquainted with the Savior. Get acquainted with what God is doing in the earth, in the world, in eternity. Because God doesn't think in terms, he does not think in terms of natural things like we think.
Right.
He sees eternity. He lives there. That's where he abides. He's an eternal being and he sees everything. He's Alpha Omega. He is way above our thinking. And he says, just give me some time with you. I'll reveal the universes to you. I'll reveal secrets to you. I'll help you understand things. I'll bring you light. I'll bring you revelations. And then it'll all start making sense to you. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, this is a spiritual revelation we're talking about here today.
Right.
This is not natural words. These are spirit words. So he says here, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word. There's something about words. You're hearing me speak words today. Words create a picture. Words create an image. Words grip you. Words can make you happy. Words can make you sad. Words affect us. We're the only creature God ever created that was created to create words. We create words. We can create words. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. God said. God speaks words. But God's words are spirit words. And the thing about God's words, they always happen. 100%. Anything God ever said, you can just count on it. It's done. If God ever said, wall, that wall is green, you're going to see a green wall appear. Because God is that powerful. His words are that powerful. Now I'm laying some groundwork and I'm laying some things here for you to try to help you see where I'm coming from today. Because religion has always tried to bring God down on man's level so we could kind of understand him in our head.
Right.
We got to figure this God out, you know. We got to feel God. We got to have some emotion with this, right? We got to have something tangible. Because man has been so thousands and thousands of years we've been in contact with the physical senses. Things have been totally, totally turned upside down when Adam fell. God is a spirit. When man fell, he lost that part of his being and contact with God. He couldn't connect with the spirit realm any longer. He was now dead in trespasses and sin. Your spirit man's dead if you're living in sin. Dead. Dead. Sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So sin's always been the issue. Sin's always been the problem. Sin has always been the separating thing. Sin has always been the, you know, it's been the wall. It's been the door. It's been the hindrance. God had to get that door, he had to get that hindrance out of the way. He had to get it out of the way. And he did it in Christ. He took it away. Removed our trespasses. Got it out of the way. Now sin, there's no longer a sin problem. No longer a sin problem. See, doesn't fit in a religious box, does it? That statement right there just doesn't set well. Because people have been so magnified their sin. Oh, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Let me tell you, I'd go to some churches to this very minute. I'd walk in and I'd be hearing what a filthy, no good sinner I was. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I am a saint. I am not dominated by sin any longer. Sin does not rule over me any longer. This doesn't. Sin does not have any control over me. Because if sin controlled me, that means Satan can control me. And Satan has nothing to do with me. I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. I have been totally delivered from the power of darkness. Translated. And it's just wonderful to know that. See, this is where revelation changes your life. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Start seeing things. Hearing the right things. Mm-hmm. Matters where you go to church too. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, matters what you hear. Because that hearing can get in you. It takes a while to get some of that yuck out of you. Yes. You can get wrong in you and it takes a while to get wrong out. Mm-hmm. It's like a dirty glass of water. You keep pouring clean water in. Eventually it'll come out. Eventually, just keep pouring the good in, keep pouring the good in, that yuck will come out. But we've been so indoctrinated into understanding God on man's level. When God is elevating us to a position in Christ, the ascension, the seating, we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been made to sit there. When were we made to sit there? Well, we were made to sit there when Jesus sat down. So we just think we've got to do so much. When God was the one who reconciled us back to himself, he's already reconciled man. You just have to walk into it, accept it, believe it, because you live by faith. Now I want to share something else with you here that has been overlooked, I think, a lot of times. There's a scripture that says, let's look at it quickly here since we're close to Romans chapter 1. Verse 17. Because we're going to talk about this sin issue, this situation, this sin thing, this sin consciousness, the fact that we just can't feel like we're good enough to get God to answer our prayers. We're just trying so hard to be good so God will smile down on us and favor us and like us enough to answer our prayers. That we're working so hard for God. We're doing so much for God. We're fasting so much. And we're going to really do anything and everything he says to do. And it's just going to make an impact in God. And he's going to answer my prayers because I do so much for him. He's going to answer my prayers, buddy. Because I do so much for God. I'm all gung-ho for God. So he's going to answer my prayers if he answers nobody else's. He's going to answer mine. See, that's based on your merit.
That's right.
That's based on your works. That's based on your ability. Uh-huh. So many, bless their little special hearts. I love them. But they live for God their whole entire lives out of the soul realm. They've never walked in the spirit and operated in the things in the way God wants it to be done. And so the revelation is 17. For therein, now it says therein, there's a place. It's established. The righteousness of God is established right here. The righteousness of God is established and revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Break it down. It's saying if those who recognize they've been reconciled to God 2,000 years ago in Christ, they identify with the death, burial, and resurrection, they know that they were reconciled, they were forgiven that moment, they got born again, you got redeemed. You can only get redeemed once. Only redeemed once. That's when you got born again. That's when he made you a new creature in Christ. You became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. All things became new. That happened only once, and it'll only happen once to a person. You only get born again once. Every time I sin, I don't go back to God and say, can you let me be born again again? You only get born again once. Just like in the natural, you only got born again. You only got born once. You only get born into the kingdom once. That's when God made a provision when he didn't impute any of your trespasses. You got born again only once. So if you're born again, let me set something record for you straight. You're born again into the kingdom of God. You are a babe in Christ. You belong to him. He's your father. The spirit of Christ is now in you, whereby you can now cry, Abba, Father. You have access to God, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace, whether you understand that or not, and whether anybody tells you that or not. The truth is just the truth. He's not imputing your trespasses unto you anymore. Now, there's people who will. Mm-hmm. The devil will. Mm-hmm. He'll remind you of your past. But he says, I've cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to rethink of them again. Never remember them again. God has a sea of forgiveness. I don't understand all that, but he does. And he's not out there pulling them back out of the sea and looking at them again. The blood of Jesus didn't just wipe, cover sin. It annihilated sin. It just poof, it's gone. I don't care what you've ever done in this life before you were born again. It's like it never happened. Your old past is just past. Over. Ended. And God never knows any more about it. God don't even know about it. That's how far removed it is. Now, I brought you to the point of being born again. And this right here, now you got some responsibility in this relationship. You and I have got big responsibility here. God's done a whole lot to get you to this point. God's done a whole lot to get humanity to the place where they're reconciled to God. Born again. The way into the kingdom has been made. The door has been opened. You now can open up your heart and Jesus can recreate your human spirit so where he can talk to you. He's not talking to your head, by the way. He's talking to your heart. God never talks to your head. God talks to the heart. Had to get born again to be able to have that access. So he opened up your heart. He opened up that door. He came in, and now he wants to talk to you. Now, you may only hear baby gibber for a while. But as you listen to the word and you listen to him talk to you, he'll talk to you on your level. He'll make it start making things clear and clear, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He'll start showing you things. And you begin to grow in the things of the kingdom. But this verse here is so important because the righteousness has been revealed. Faith to faith. And the thing about the faith to faith, there's not a single born again human being that hasn't come to the same way. We've all recognized we've been born into the kingdom. Something happened to us. I can tell you the moment it happened to me. I know every single believer who's been born again can tell you when it happened to them because it is a monumental moment in your life. And you'll never forget it. But what do you do from that point? What do you do from there? He says this. Been revealed from faith to faith. I can talk about it. You and I can talk about that. It's written. The just shall live by faith. Living is a living. If I just said I lived one day by faith. No, he says, you live by faith. This is a continuous, yes. This is a process. I'm going to continue to live. I'm going to continue tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And you know, I've been serving God 35 years. That's a long living process of faith. I've been doing something called living by faith for 35 years. 35 years of living by faith. Living by faith. The just shall live by faith. I was 22 years old. I had a lot of living ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's what I'm supposed to do? Now that I'm born again, I got to do something called live by faith? Cars run by gas. Christians run by faith. You understand that? We don't get that sometimes. Just go up there and put something else in that car and see if you can make it run. And go to town for you. You got to put the right thing in the thing to make it work. God has so created, ingeniously, so powerful. Everything in your life, from this moment you got born again, has now got to be by faith.
By faith.
By faith. I live by faith. Oh, how hard that is to get that. How hard is that to get? Because surely we got something to do with this. Surely my good works count something. Surely if I tithe a lot, that'll impress God. Maybe if I cry really hard and suffer. And maybe if I really fast. And maybe if I really, just really, oh, let me tell you, I've tried everything to impress God. I want a prayer answered, buddy. I'm going to get that prayer answered. But God, how do you get your prayer answered? You get them answered by faith. You want to move a mountain, you move it by faith. You want to see your children saved, they saved by faith. I can't think of a single prayer I've ever had answered that wasn't by my faith. My faith. My faith. My faith got the job done.
Amen.
My faith did it. Seriously. Your car ain't going nowhere if you don't put some gas in it. How do you get faith? Well, the disciples came to give us, increase our faith. Found out you can't ask God for faith. Can't even get that. That's one prayer that will not be answered. Forget praying, asking God to give you faith. Forget that one. Don't even ask God to give you love for people. There are some things with you God has had to help me with. And I just believe power of God is going to move on people's lives and wake them up. And get religion, the chains and bondages of religion off of them. So they can start enjoying what God has already provided from the foundation of the world. From the moment that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father. He's getting a people's ears open to hear.
It is finished.
We've got to get this. And so, okay, let's move on. The just shall live by faith. Y'all got that. In fact, there's five witnesses. You know, Jesus said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If that's not established in your heart, it's in 2 Corinthians 13:1. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You might want to just look at that verse sometime and think about that. God has already established this word five times. It's not just three times. This is in five places in the Bible. I'll give these to you quickly if you want to write them down. I don't want to go there because it takes too much time. But Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, we just read, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Now there's five witnesses in the Word of God that we have to do that. I never liked it either. Oh, don't look at me like that. I didn't like it either. It was hard to swallow. It was hard because I was so used to doing everything in my flesh. I was just doing everything in my emotions, you know, and it took a while to get out of that emotional man, to get out of that soul man.
Amen.
It just took a while to get that dealt with. And I feel so sorry for these precious little Christian people that lay at an altar and beg and cry and ask God to heal them. And beg and ask, cry and beg and seek and cry and beg. And they do not understand that it's by faith. They're not going to receive anything any other way. Now, I do believe God has mercy, that he'll send someone who can believe for you to pray for you. But, you know, it's a whole lot better to walk in faith for yourself.
Amen.
Than to walk around trying to find somebody who can believe for you. Because
yeah.
Nobody's going to love you like you love you. I like me. And that's another whole topic. That's a whole nother topic. If you don't like you, you better start liking yourself. Start taking care of yourself. Eat right, exercise, love yourself. Do yourself a favor and start falling in love with you, because Jesus says you love others as you love yourself. And love is already in you when you got born again. Don't ask God for more love. Don't ask God for more faith, because it's a product of the human spirit. You have fruit. It's one of the fruit of the spirit. Your human spirit produces love. You grow love. You produce love. That apple tree doesn't have a single apple on it until it starts producing. Our human spirit's got to learn how to produce something. We got to start learning how to produce these things. And we're not going to tell God how to do stuff. It's just the way it is. We need to get on the program. Find out how to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, how to walk by faith in the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. All those scriptures just really haunted me, gripped me. I said, God, I got to understand these things. How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I live in the Spirit? You would never ask me to do something that was impossible. You would never ask me to do something I couldn't possibly do, so there's something I'm missing. And so I looked at this verse, and I looked and said, okay, the just shall live by faith. Okay, let's start working on that, living by something called faith. And you got to understand what faith is. Faith, you know, if you could tell me I could live by potato chips, man, I can do that. Or cookies. Or cake. I can live by that. No, faith is not a tangible. It's not something you can touch, feel, taste. It's not a physical sense thing, you understand. Faith is a spiritual force of your human spirit. And very few people really know their spirit, man. They very rarely know their own heart. They don't know who they are in Christ. And you are nothing without Him. And that's where the being born again is all about, having Christ in your heart by faith. So let me show you another verse I think might help you understand where I'm coming from here. It's in 1 Thessalonians. I'm feeding you today. You understand that? Amen. Most of you already know everything I'm sharing here, but I'm feeding you. You're sitting down to a meal. Do you ever get tired of eating steak? I could eat steak one day a week. You ever get tired of eating potatoes? I eat potatoes. I'm Irish. You eat a lot of potatoes in my life. I can fix them. I can fry them. I can mash them. I can put butter on them, sour cream. I can do a lot of things with potatoes. Scald them. Au gratin, potatoes are just wonderful. You see, you can hear the same message and it'll still feed you and feed you and feed you. Your spirit man's need nourishment on a regular basis. You don't need just one meal and say, I'm fed. You have to continually feed up on this word, because it's your sustenance. It's what you have to have. So what'd I say? 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say, I was such a broken person. I was so broken. And the devil's out there breaking people right now. I'm telling you, that's what he does right from the womb, right from the womb. Break them so they can't hear the gospel. Break them so they'll never come to God. Break them. Do everything I can to destroy their mind, their will, their emotions. Just destroy them. Make them not think God loves them. He's out to break everybody's will. Commit suicide, kill yourself, don't care about nothing. And so I was a very broken individual, and I would go to God. I knew I had an awesome call of God on my life. I knew I did from the day I saw Jesus in my living room, and I thought, but I'm so broken, God. And when I found this verse, and it said, He wants to make you whole, W-H-O-L-E. You know what that word means? Whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, shalom. He wants me whole. He wants me complete. He wants me mature. He wants me whole. Nothing missing. Nothing out of place. Nothing out of whack. He don't want me to have a bunch of wrong thinking. He wants me whole. Can you picture yourself completely whole? See, that was so much hope for me. That this is the will of God for me. I'm broken. I'm not whole at all. I would shoot you in a heartbeat across my way. I was mean. God totally made me whole. And it's a process sometimes. I know when we got born again, our spirit man became whole. I believe that new creature being in you is made perfect. No sin, but it's the rest of us that needs some working on. It's your soul that needs to be made whole. It's your body sometimes that needs to be made whole. You know, so God is all about making you whole and sanctifying you, setting you apart. I pray, God, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body. So you can say whole, everything whole. But there's three parts of you that you need to be conscious of that needs to be whole for you to work right. Because they all kind of work together. Let's go back to the car. Let's look at that car. Does the car work without the wheels? You need the wheels. You need a steering wheel. You know, the car has components and parts in it. You are a triune being. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you happen to operate in a human body. This is your earth suit. This is how you contact the physical realm. And you need your body. But your body's not you. The body's the house you live in. And so your spirit man is really you. Why don't you fast a few days? Fast a few days. Put your flesh down. And see how aware you become of your spirit. See, spirit doesn't need physical food. The body needs physical food. But your spirit man needs this food. This is spirit food. Fast a day or two. And just tell the body, spirit, your spirit says, body, you hear me? Your body will definitely hear you. You stop eating, your body will hear you. Your body will say, you need to eat. And your spirit will answer back, I think I'm going to make you suffer. Because I want to dominate you right now. I'm going to dominate you today. Paul said, I keep my body under. The real I is the real spirit. Paul was talking. See, I don't think we recognize that we are more a spirit being that's supposed to dominate our soul and our spirit.
Right.
Your spirit man has got to develop and continue to develop and continue to grow and continue to mature, continue to stay whole. See, everybody, when they got born again, got a measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12 is an awesome, awesome revelation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the you? Your spirit man, the you, the real. Now that you're born again, you can know these things. And now you can recognize God through the spirit. God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in your human spirit. You're a spirit. When man was created and God breathed into man the breath of life, that was his spirit. He imparted a part of himself into us. And the devil hated that. That's why he took it and stole it from Adam. And the descendants know no different. No different. It's very similar to being in Africa during the slave trade days. And those original ancestors understood how wonderful it was to be in Africa free until the slave traders came and took them to America or whatever country they did slave trading in many places and put them on the block and sold them. And then from then on, those babies were born into slavery. They didn't know anything about being free. Couldn't conceive it. So we don't know what it's like to be free in the spirit and walk like Adam walked and live like Adam lived. But Adam was a spirit man first. Covered in the glory of God, could have relationship with God. That's what we were restored to have. Do you understand that? And the devil don't want you to see it.
Amen.
He don't want you to see that you've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your life is in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. This is where we live. This is where we breathe. This is where we have our move. We move and have our being in him. See? So, that was a big deal to me, that verse right there, because I saw hope. I'm going to be made whole. I'm going to be whole in my spirit. I'm going to be whole in my soul. I'm going to be whole in my body. But you know something? I had to come to find out something in my little rebellious nature of myself, my special me self. the old me, that I had to die daily. Mm-hmm. And I still die daily. Mm-hmm. Because I try to tell God how to do everything. I got it all figured out, God. And as soon as I think I got God figured out, you ain't got this figured out. Because I'm still doing something called living by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, then you're not, you know, if you're seeing something, then that's not faith. Jesus even said, what's the things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. In fact, let's look at that verse, Mark 11. So my goal was to be whole, and I'm still working on that. I'm still working on being whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now 11, and I want to show you Mark 11. Start verse 22. You really can't talk about faith in any degree without going here, I don't think. Because this verse says, Jesus had just spoken to the fig tree, and they're questioning him. That fig tree, master, you spoke to, it's withered from the roots, like in a day. And he says, okay, opportunity to teach faith here. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. In other words, learn how God works. Learn the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Because faith is faith. Same rules apply to faith for God that applies to faith for us. Did you know that?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Same rules. I don't care how many electricians you bring into a room and tell them to wire a room. The same rules about electricity operate for all of them. Electricity has laws and rules governing it. If you follow the rules, things work perfectly. God knows how to make things happen. God knows how to make you change. God knows how to do everything. And you know, God is a faith God of a faith people, because we're supposed to live by this thing called faith. Every day, the time my feet hit the floor, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith and not by sight. And you've got to understand as a believer that you can't walk by faith in your flesh. You can't walk by faith in your soul. You're going to have to walk by faith out of your spirit, because it is a force of your spirit. Okay? That's the kind of God, faith that God has, basically, he says here. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and as I'm reading this, by the way, I want you to get a pen. You write in your Bible? You need to write in your Bible. Underline the word say. Underline the word say. Say, 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 say. And that's something you do. That's something you do. And he says, have God the kind of faith. And then he starts telling you what you need to do to have faith like God has. And this is a real revelation to people when you start recognizing that faith involves your mouth. Very much.
Very much.
And mere mouth speaks words. Right? So he's saying, did Jesus speak to that tree? I think he did, because they heard him say, because they recognized, look at the tree that you cursed. So they know he said a curse, he spoke a curse to that tree. Jesus said words. And so he's saying here, let's underline the word say, for verily I say unto you, of course, Jesus is saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, underline that, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now there's only one time the word believe is in that verse. Says three times. Three times. You're going to have to start saying what you really want to happen. And then he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now when I'm praying, you can ask my neighbors up here. They know I'm saying. because they can hear me talking. They can hear me probably three apartments down and under me. I'm talking to God. I'm saying something. And I'm saying words. I'm speaking to God. I'm forming words. I'm forming an image. I'm forming a thought. I'm saying something. And I'm saying. I'm saying words. I'm creating a picture. I'm creating a container. Who hears those words? I hear them, for one thing. If you don't believe your words over anybody else's, you're in trouble. You need to start believing what you say. Believe what you say. In fact, chances are you do believe what you say over anybody else's say. And if you don't believe what God says, you're in trouble too. And so I just had to come into agreement with what God has already said. What does God say about my healing? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I got to find that out. What does God say about my emotional man, my soul man? Well, I got to find that out. What does God say about my mental health? I got to find that out, which is your soul. Mind, will, and emotions, your soul. I got to find out, what does God say about my physical body? I got to find that out. I mean, that's just not something God just downloads in you. You got to seek the kingdom. Seek you me and you shall live, he said to me. If you don't seek me, you ain't going to live. That's kind of clear to me. Okay, I'll definitely seek you. I'll seek you. Because I don't have all the answers. But his answers to every single thing in this life are in this word right here. If you can find the will of God, if you can find the will of God, see, your faith begins where the will of God is known. When you believe what God has said, that's your faith, like grabbing it. You grab it. You grab it by your faith. And you say, God said that. That makes it true. And then you begin to say it. You begin to say it. Say to your mountain. Say what? Say the word to it. Say the word of God to it. The mountain just represents a problem. The mountain just represents a situation. The mountain can be anything. And your mountains might be different than my mountains. But if I can't find a word to say on it and put a word to it, and is there anything bigger, any mountain bigger than God's word? I can't think of a single mountain bigger than God. Not a single problem bigger than God. Okay. I'm going to lose some of you right here. I promise you I will. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to take you someplace. Because there's some of you will get this. St. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Okay, let's look at it again now. Let's read it again. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, right now we're listening to words, right? I'm sharing words. I'm speaking the Word of God. And it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Yes, Spirit gives life. The Spirit of God is the source of life. God is a Spirit, right? But he's saying here that the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. They are Spirit. So you could read this verse in this context. It is the Word that quickeneth. And not do any injustice to what he said. Because he says, the words I'm speaking, they're the Spirit. The words I speak, they're Spirit. So Spirit, God's Word is Spirit. God's Spirit is words. God's Word is Spirit. Equal. Can't change that. The words I speak, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are Spirit. Got to catch some of these things. You can't be taught everything. Some things you got to catch by the Spirit of God, the revelation of it. If you don't see this, don't worry. You'll see it. You meditate on this. Spirit can't touch it, can't feel it, can't taste it. It's not in the physical realm because it's spirit. These words are spirit. It's the spirit that quickeneth. What's that word quickeneth mean? Brings life, creativity, change. And never bad, because it's always good. So when you speak words, not just any words, Jesus' words. Jesus' words are spirit words. And where does Jesus speak words? From his spirit. These are so powerful. This revelation is so powerful when you get it and you begin to have a revelation, you understand that he's given you his word. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will write my word. I will place my word in their mind. And I will write my word in their heart. So they can be to me, I can be to them a God, and they can be to me a people. Amen. The more words you got in revelation level of your in your human spirit, and the more you can speak on that level, the more you can interact and enjoy the presence of your Father and enjoy life with your Father in this earth and dominate in this earth with your words. Words, not your words, his words. But your words become his words.
Right.
Jesus says, the words that I speak, they're spirit. So same words, quickeneth. You see that? You see that, right? Now, go with me to Luke. No. I'm sorry. St. John. St. John chapter 14. St. John 14. Bear in mind everything we've shared. Go with 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him. Everybody there? St. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me or cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? Now the question I want to ask you to think about as I'm reading this verse is, how was the Father in Jesus? And how will the Father be in you? Look at this verse. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now it's gone from works to words to works. When did that transition happen? The thinking, right? The words bring change. They're words. Words are supposed to be spoken. Jesus went around speaking Father's words every day, all day long. He says, let me read it again. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in Father in me? In me. In him. The words that I speak unto you. See, there was no room in Jesus for his own words. He didn't have his own ideas. Didn't have his own little attitude, his little religious niches, his little theology on the side. Well, I think it's like this. He was sold out to whatever Father said. The words I am sold out to speak, they're Father's words. Because I recognize it's the words that quicken. The words are spirit. And he says, the words I speak, I don't speak of myself, but a Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. God's got things he wants us to do. He's got things, places to go, people to see, things to happen. And he's got to have a people who know how to operate the way Jesus did. Believe me, he said, verse 11, believe me, I am in the Father and the Father in me. How was Jesus in the Father and how was the Father in him? Through words. That's how you get the works. Through the words. And then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, But you got to have some words to do the works, right? So he says, works that I do, he shall do also. That also is a for sure also. Whatever you can read in the Gospels and Jesus' life and times on the earth, whatever he did, he said you can do too. And then he didn't just stop. If he just stopped right there and said, isn't that great? I can walk on water. I can raise the dead. I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. I can lay hands on the sick and I can speak to lame arms and watch them grow. I can do works. But you're going to have to do it the way Jesus did it. Ain't going to be by begging and crying and screaming and hollering. It's going to be by the words that you believe.
Hallelujah.
Ain't going to be through your soul or emotional man. It's going to be through your human spirit, believing God. God dwelling in you. How does God dwell in you? He dwells in you through his word, the way he did Jesus. No different. And I'm happy to let you know I'm working on doing some works for God. But it's going to come the way Jesus did it. I can't come up with a different formula. Can't wire a house a different way than everybody else has to wire it. Jesus is a pattern. And he says, this is how you do the works. The words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. The words quicken. The word. The spirit quickens. The word quick. Equal. And he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, there's faith. The works that I do, the works shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why and how? And he tells you why. Because I'm at the right hand of the throne at the most powerful place in all the universe. And you're seated with me right there. Me, right there, at God's right hand. There's no more powerful place to be seated than at the right hand of God. How close are you to getting an answer to your situation? How close are you to hearing from God? That's how close Jesus is to God Almighty, who has an answer for every problem. How close can I get to God? That close. I can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. And the devil knows that, and he will try to make you so sin conscious and that you're so failure conscious that you don't have a right to go to God because you're just an old worm. You're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody thinks you're anything. It's not about you anyway. It's not about you. It's about his word working in you. Is Father in you? Is Jesus in you? Your Father's in you through Jesus. Because the Father's in Jesus. Isn't it exciting to know? Opens up a whole new way of life for being a believer. Doesn't it? And, you know, sometimes I just get in autopilot. Just turn on autopilot. I'm walking by faith. My feelings and my flesh could be screaming at me. My old flesh. Just my old body. Pain, get out of here. Has to go. I speak to mountains. I call those things that are not as though they are. That's the kind of God I serve. I walk by faith. And I'll tell you why. Start walking with God and get his word in you. He will correct you if you're messing up. You'll know. You'll know when you're missing it. I'd rather have a beaten by 10 men than one by God. And the greater works. Isn't that just a challenge of the church? What's greater than... I haven't seen anybody walk on water lately. Peter walked on water. I mean, there's just a lot of works that we got to get done before Jesus comes back. And the church has been... We have just... Can I share another one with you? We're right here anyway. St. John chapter 15. And get your pen out. I'm going to mark another verse here. 15 verse 7. You know, prayer is the most powerful thing that you and I as believers have. You know, there's many manners of prayer. Did you know that? Praying with all prayer and supplication. Many manners of prayer. Many ways to pray. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the many ways to pray. Many ways to pray. There's prayers of intercession, prayers of consecration, prayers of, you know, there's just many ways. But this prayer right here, this is what Jesus said right here. He said, St. John chapter 15, verse 7, he said these words. Now, you need to read the whole, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but just look at this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I'm going to really upend your theology here for a minute. Because we feel like we've got to talk God into doing things for us. We feel like we've got to kind of convince God, which is nothing wrong with pleading your case with God, because he says to come, you know, plead your case, let us reason together. There's nothing wrong with that. I do that a lot. But he is saying here, prayer. This is the proper order of prayer. And underline the word you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, underline you, underline you, shall ask what you, underline you, will, and it shall be done unto you. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there disease in heaven? No, because there's no devil in heaven. Where's the devil? He's here. And he's eating people's lunches. He's eating the saints' lunch. He's packing off their families. He's killing their kids. He's taking their stuff. He steals. He's a thief. And that's what he does. And we've got to learn how to operate in the things that God says to do and how to do it. And he says, if you abide in me, knock, knock, knock. Sup with him. Talk with him. Get acquainted with his ways. Learn what he wants from you. Get a relationship going. Find out what your purpose is for you. What is his plan for your life? Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He's nigh to those that be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He wants to know. He wants you to know. He knows the plan. Jeremiah 29? I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He has a purpose for us. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. And it's always good, always good. You just got to trust that. But he's making a very clear statement. He says, if you abide in me, how, on what level and how can you abide? Through the words you believe, the words that you speak, the words, you don't ever say anything you don't believe, do you? I walk around talking truth all the time. Okay. So he says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, talking about, think about your word level, and my words abide in you, think about that word level, that revelation. And you can ask what you will. You mean I don't have to talk God into it? You mean I don't have to fast and seek God? Well, nothing. Yeah, you do. But not. This is what he's saying. Your fasting is not about talking God into anything. Your fasting is to get your filthy flesh under control. So you won't eat too much. And you'll lay off the sugar. Or you'll be in control. Your spirit man will raise up and tell your flesh, no, you ain't watching that movie today. You ain't watching that soap opera. You ain't going here. You ain't. And your flesh is not supposed to dominate you. Fasting is to keep your spirit man in domination mode. Do you understand? And the word can so function much better. Your mind will be clear. I don't mean you don't want you to starve, but it's a medical fact that if you stop eating, it's good for you. It's healthy to give your organs a rest. Give your liver a rest one day a week. Fill it full of good, clean water. Give your intestines a break. Just give them a break. They function all day long, every day. Give your bile and your gallbladder and all those organs a break. Let them take a rest. Cleanse your body out. He says in Isaiah 58, is this not the fast? You start praying for people. I don't want to go in that direction, but I want to share this. This is really, really where I'm going to end. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. What you will. You will. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth, Jesus said. What those things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. Whatsoever covers a lot of stuff. And it shall be done unto you. Five times in that verse it says you. Five times. Isn't this awesome experience? Isn't this awesome revelation? What about God's will in this? Well, you're not going to pray outside of God's will if his word is in you.
Right.
You'll understand the will. My will be done. Thy will be done on earth. This is earth. My earth. Your will be done just exactly like the pattern in heaven right now.
That's right.
There's healing. Nobody's sick in heaven. In fact, when that verse is in James says, is there any sick among you? The question is, there really shouldn't be, you know, in the body. Anybody sick? Well, you go to a church and ask that question right now. 90% of them are all sick or on a pill. Everybody's sick. It's like, that'd be a dumb question in this century. But in that time, it was an unusual thing for there to be sickness in the body because they understood the will of God for sickness and disease. It was of the devil. We just have lost so much revelation through theology of man. Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it. I seal it. I bless you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for the revelation. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what was sent to do today. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.